You know, God makes no mistakes. Up at Union Hospital, they determined to send me home and put me on home health care. Well, home health care, you got to be stuck at home. And there's no way I was going to do that. So the home health care guy come out, and he filled out all the paperwork and found out. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I can't continue this because you have to be stranded here at home for the home health care to come out. And I said, okay. So anyway, he gave me the papers. But long story short, after we had talked and he gave me all that, I said, if you were to die right now, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? And he said, kind of hesitant. And I said, where do you go to church? And he told me one Catholic church in Terre Haute. And they said, no, I really go mostly over to that other one. And I said, well, if you were to die and go before Christ right now, and he asked you, why should I let you enter heaven? And, of course, he took the typical Catholic approach of, well, I would do this and I'd try to do that. And I said, what if I told you what the Bible said about that? That all of your righteousness, all of my righteousness, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Because if I could do anything to make it to heaven on my own, Jesus Christ died in vain. He didn't need to die. And I gave him this, and I took him through the verses on it. And then I said, wouldn't you like to be saved? And he said, yes. And he prayed, but before he prayed, I was looking at him eyeball to eyeball. And I could see the tears coming out of his eyes. And so his name is Danny Camacho. So if you remember him, pray for him. Danny Camacho. And I'm going to try and follow up on him and get him into Bible Baptist up in Terre Haute if possible. Okay, now along the same line, God makes no mistakes. And we don't know why the pastor is going through what he's going through. God saw it a long time ago. It's not a mistake. And he's got a purpose in it in the beginning and in the ending, no matter how it turns out, good or bad, so on. And the important thing is that we be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and let God work in our life. Now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 12. I'm going to talk about prayer tonight because our pastor needs prayer. Right now, I feel like I need prayer for me. I love traveling and doing the ministry I've done. This three-year COVID thing, this last Saturday was the first flight I scheduled since COVID began, and I was looking so much forward to going out and being with a lot of friends I have out in Yakima, Washington. But it wasn't God's will yet. And I don't know that I'll ever get to travel like I did before and preach. I get to do a lot of preaching around here and fill in pulpits. But here in Acts chapter 12 is the story about right after the Apostle John was beheaded by Herod, and then Peter was put in prison. And if you would stand with me, I'm just going to read a few verses, but we're going to talk about a good number of them. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod, and I put in parentheses above that Satan, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but always, when I read things like that, I like to circle the but. But Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Heavenly Father, as we talk about prayer tonight, I pray that you would make it a very important part of our life, not just here at church and not just amongst friends, but Lord, may prayer be just as much a habit in our life as taking the next breath. And Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. We've got much to pray for here in America and our pastor and others. And Lord, we need your blessings. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in this portion of Scripture, verse 5, it says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. That was the problem. That was the problem. Peter was kept in prison. And here was the folks in the church meeting together. And what were they doing? They were praying for Peter's release. I'm going to have a lot to say about that here in a minute. So here was the problem. And prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. And they realized there was a problem. James had just been beheaded. And here was Peter, the leader of the pack. They got him and they thought, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our church? What's going to happen to our people if Peter goes? Well, God knew what was going to happen. In verse 7 it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, Peter. Now remember, Peter's in prison. What was it? Four quintillion or however many guards around him. They didn't intend for him to get loose. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. So here's the miracle. There was a problem, but God can always provide the miracle. Peter didn't realize it. Even when the chains fell off, he thought, is this a vision? Am I dreaming? And God said, no, get up and come on. So there was the miracle. And then in verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed. The miracle was over. Peter was free, and he said, my goodness, how did I get here? By the grace of God. And but for the grace of God, none of us would even be sitting in a church pew tonight. And thank God for that. So that was the result of the prayer. Remember, the people are back in home praying for Peter. And then in verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So this was the confidence that came. Peter said, man, I just come through a miracle. I walked through a miracle. God's got something for me in my life. You and I have all come through the miracle of the new birth. Amen? It's not anything that we've done, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. So we've had the miracle that has set us free. The chains have fallen off, and we're walking now. And we have the confidence. And then verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. And I want to talk on this tonight. The sermon is going to be about prayer. And I've got four things that I want to talk about as we talk about prayer. In this chapter, the Apostle James had just been martyred by the wicked King Herod. Peter had been in prison. Boy, it was dark days. My next message I'm going to preach in a couple, three, four more weeks when I preach again on Baptist history, Baptist heritage, and where are we headed? We're headed in some wicked times. I don't know how much you watch the news from the aspect of the true church of God, but they're out to get us. And it's coming one way or another. We're going to suffer, maybe even in my lifetime, and if not, for sure, in the younger people's lifetime. You're going to have to face it. Either you're going to stand with God, or you're going to give in to the wiles of the devil and walk in that. What do you do when you or someone close to you are in trouble and you have need of help? We usually panic and look to natural self means. In other words, self-sufficiency. And some of us are bad at that. I don't like to give in to much. You know, some of the health problems I've got, some of the people probably would have gone home, stayed home and that. But I'm not going to do it. I hope God's going to help me do it. If they pick me up off the street one day, they may have to take me back home and tie me to my bed. I don't know. But most of the time, we look at things self-sufficiently. Well, I can take care of that. Or if we can get a little group together and get some, we can handle things like that when we ought to be going to God. You do know what to do sometimes, but a lot of times it's not. This passage, particularly the prayer meeting, provides the answer for what we do when things are going wrong. We can follow things this early church did. Number one, they prayed. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made for him for a specific purpose. I was going to preach a Baptist message tonight, but with the pastor and what he's going through right now, I want to preach this message because our pastor is somewhat being held right now. And we don't know the outcome. God does. But I think it's a call to the church to pray. And we have been doing it. And I'm sure that the crowd here tonight, you probably prayed many times today for the pastor already. But the first thing they did for Peter, they all got together. He was in prison, bound by chains, but they prayed. Sometimes we just do not understand God's working when things happen. How could God let our leader go to prison? How could God let our pastor come down with something like cancer? I know the answer, and you know the answer. It's all for the glory of God. Amen. Sometimes we do not understand God's timing, but He knows the end from the beginning. Things happen in our life, and sometimes it's just at the epitome of some of the things we're doing, and it's like somebody just pulled the scaffold out from underneath us, and we plop down. We think, oh, Lord, how did I get down here? Why did you let me go through this? Well, He knows the beginning from the end. And that's where it comes in by faith. And we live by faith. Sometimes we do not understand His methods. They may not all be comfortable to us. You know, we like comfort, don't you? I like to go home and take a nap. The older you get, I take a morning nap and an afternoon nap to prepare me for an evening nap just before I go to bed. You get here, you'll understand what I'm talking about, right, Brother John? We know what that is, and you sort of get used to it like that. But we don't, and not everything's going to be comfortable in this life. We have had so much. Sometimes we do not even understand His answers. See, this is what happened when they were praying for Peter. What were they praying for Peter? That he'd get out of prison. Right. He got out of prison. Oh, that can't be. He's tied up. He's chained up in prison. Where was their faith? Praying in faith. But when you finally realize this is what God's doing, then you realize that faith takes over. And just like positions we're in right now with pastor, myself, and I'm not putting myself up in any great thing. I would like for you to pray that I get rid of this lightheadedness. It's very frustrating, but thank God I can still get up and go. But faith takes over. We just trust God. He knows why it is. Like I said, he kept me home from going to Washington so that Danny would get saved. I thank God that I was in a position to be used of God for that. However, we know that we can always trust God in all that he does and see his hand operating in our lives. But you got to have eyes of faith and see God. Not everything's going to be exactly the way we would plan them. Thank God for that, because if it did, most of them probably fail. But faith takes over, and we just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Make of me what you want me to be. And Lord, give me opportunities, and make me aware when opportunities come. How many times have you passed somebody and get 10 feet away, or get in your car and why didn't I stop and witness to that person? Why didn't I give them a track? We're all guilty of that. You know, we're not perfect. But the thing of it is to be as close as we can be and to be active in seeking people for the Lord. So number one, the church prayed. Number two, they were persistent in their prayer. Look at verse 5 again. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, without ceasing. Persistent in prayer. We ought to pray until we get God's answer. One of three things. Yes, no, not right now. That's God's answer to everything we pray for. He's not up there ignoring us. My Bible says, come boldly therefore before the throne of grace and bring your petitions to God. He's not hard of hearing, and he hears them and he knows them. It's just that you and I are so carnal, we want it and we want it yesterday. And I'm very guilty about that. I get very anxious and over time, but they were persistent. We are so used to instant everything now here in this day and age, instant coffee and instant whatever, food, cell phone, conversation, ATM machines, etc. Everything is right at our fingertips. And I thank God for Google. Since Google come out, I'm the smartest man in the world. You ask me anything you want. No, I have clients in the estate planning call me and ask me things I've got no idea. I said, give me 5 minutes and I'll call you back. And I get on Google and boy, it just pops up everything that I need to know. Now, I understand the language and stuff, but what I don't know, I know where to go and find it. Okay, and that's exciting to be able to help people and give them answers like that. We need to have patience with God. Patience is a good mark of character. Psalm 37:9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Don't be so over-anxious that, I'm not going to pray for that anymore. Unless God's told you, and I mean you specifically know in your heart, don't pray for that anymore, don't give up on it. All that is the devil trying to discourage you and defeat you and get you separated from your God, who probably wants to do what you're praying for, but he's got a specific time and a specific place and a specific way to accomplish it. And when it's finally accomplished, isn't good when you can, oh, thank you, Lord. I've been praying for that, and it may be for a relative to be saved, or it may be you need a job, or maybe for things. Who knows what it is, but when God answers, what a confidence builder that is in your heart. Isaiah 40:31, very famous verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Patience and prayer go hand in hand. So number one, let's pray. Number two, let's be persistent. Number three, their prayer was powerful. You know, sometimes we hear people pray and give a testimony about what they prayed for, and boy, God answered it just like that. And why doesn't God answer my prayers like that? Maybe we don't have the power in prayer, or the patience, or whatever it is. Always make sure that you come to God with a clean heart. I've told you this before, and I'll probably tell it to you every time I preach. My morning prayer when my feet hit the floor: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That means from the time right now till yesterday morning when I prayed. Is there any wicked way or any off way in my life? Let me confess it and forsake it. Lord, I want to be pure and clean and holy. Now, am I? No, I wish I were. But I strive to be that way, and I believe that God hears my prayer. Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto the church of God for him. Prayer was made, powerful prayer. The people didn't even realize the power that they had in prayer. And sometimes we pray for things up here, and maybe somebody says, pray for a relative of mine. And if we as a church pray for your relative and that relative gets healed or gets saved, come back and give us that testimony and let us know. We want to know the backside of it as well as the front side. And it's not a matter of egotism or whatever. If we could get rid of egotism in our lives, we would be very, very thankful. Psalm 69:13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. You can hear the urgency in this verse. My prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the multitude of mercy, hear me, hear me, hear me. We can always put it off until we get home or until tomorrow. Sometimes I even have trouble remembering how to get back home, let alone remembering every little thing. That's why you ought to carry a notebook in your pocket or with your Bible or something. Names, things that you want to pray for, keep a list of them. Because the older you get, the easier it is to forget and do that. So there's an urgency in prayer. Luke 16:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. You see the continuation of prayer in this verse. Lord, do this, and then go off and forget about it. If it's worth praying for the first time, it's worth praying for many times. And keep it on your mind. Again, the notebook helps you do that. Continuing. And then, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Where it says be careful for nothing means don't be over caring. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You can see the carefulness in these verses here. And this is what the people there did in the house as they were praying for Peter. They did all the right things. They were just shocked when God did it. They were faithful in the prayer. I'm sure that every one of them in there was praying, God, deliver Peter, bring him back to us. And that's the fourth thing. Their prayer was very pointed. Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing for the church of God, for him, for Peter. When the need arises, we must pray specifically. John 16:24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. When God does something in your life, whether it's for you personally, for a family member, for a friend, what, isn't that exciting to see the hand of God working in other people's life, that your joy may be full? Most Christians, if truth is known, they may put up a good front, but inside they're, woe is me, woe is me. I don't want to be that way. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? And we need to ask pointed. Be very specific with God what you're asking for. You don't go demanding of God. You go petitioning God. That's what prayer is, petitioning. That if it be your will, God, do this, allow this. But whatever you do or whatever you allow, cause me to be content with what you do and to be satisfied. When all was said and done, they got what they had petitioned. Peter was freed. It was time to praise God. God sometimes blesses us even in our unbelief, like he did the people here in this chapter. However, what he answers strengthens our unbelief into full confidence and trust. Rhoda said, it's Peter. People said, Peter's locked up in chains in jail. Acts 12:13-15. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. He's here, your prayer's answered. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is an angel. Well, if I thought an angel was knocking at my front door, I'd be right there to open it and find out what he wanted. But it wasn't an angel. It was Peter. It was an answer to their prayer. And we need to be faithful prayer warriors. Let me close with this thought. When we work, we get what we can do. But when we pray, we get what God can do. And that's the purpose of prayer, to change things and to get what we need for the cause of Christ. The greatest thing to pray for is salvation. And I think I recognize most of the faces, most all the faces here tonight. But think about this, just like I was talking to Danny last week, Danny Camacho. He was a sweet fellow and very kind to me. But he came into my house a lost man. He walked out of my house a saved man. If he meant the prayer he prayed, and I can't tell that, God knows. But I think with the tears in his eyes, he prayed that prayer and accepted Christ as his Savior. That's the first thing to get in tune with God. Up until then, our prayers will not be answered. We're not God's child. He has no responsibility to us. But once we receive Christ, we become a part of the family of God. And God wants to hear from us. Are you sure tonight, right now, if you were to pray right now, that your prayers would enter heaven into the ears of Almighty God? It'll only happen if you've been saved, been born again, had your sins forgiven. And I would challenge you to do that tonight. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. If you're here right now and you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, if you'll come forward tonight, we've got people that'll take the Bible and show you from God's Word, just like I showed Danny last week, how to know that your sins are forgiven. That's the most important decision you can ever make. Most of us here tonight are saved. How's your prayer life? I would challenge you to spend time in prayer, private, confidential prayer, as well as family prayer, and as well as church prayer, beseeching God's blessings and direction and power on your lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. And I pray now, Lord, that you'll take this message and speak to hearts. And God, I feel like we have a praying church and people that are very faithful at it, but we can all be so much better. Help us, Lord, to love you and to just fully dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, we're going to expect some great things back from you, as you promised and as you've shown that you've done as when you released Peter. God, help us to love you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.